हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 7, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 10, Techniques of Hearing and Remembering, verse 1 to 175. Remembrance, from verse 87. Somehow or other, connecting the mind to the Lord is called remembrance. 1 to 176. This is illustrated in the Vishnu Purana, 5.17.17. I surrender to the unborn eternal person, Hari, by remembrance of whom one takes possession of all auspiciousness. 1.2.177. Remembrance is also illustrated in the Padma Purana. I offer my respects to the omniscient Lord. Remembrance of his name, while living or dying, immediately destroys heaps of sins committed by men. Srila Prabhupada, remembrance. Some way or other, if someone establishes in his mind his continuous relationship with Krishna, his relationship is called remembrance. About this remembrance, there is a nice statement in the Vishnu Purana where it is said, quote, simply by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities become eligible for all kinds of auspiciousness. Therefore, let me always remember the Lord, who is unborn and eternal. In the Padma Purana, the same remembrance is explained as follows. Quote, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, because if someone remembers him, either at the time of death or during his span of life, he becomes freed from all sinful reactions. 1.2.178. Meditation, from verse 87. Meditation means to contemplate with absorption on the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, and service. Srila Prabhupada. Meditation. To meditate means to engage the mind in thinking of the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the activities of the Lord, and the service of the Lord. Meditation does not mean anything impersonal or void. According to Vedic literature, meditation is always on the form of Vishnu. 1.2.179. Meditation on the form, from Nisringa Purana. Meditation on the 2 feet of the Lord is considered the means of attaining freedom from the dualities of this world. Even a sinner who casually meditates attains the highest benefit. Srila Prabhupada. In the Nisringa Purana, there's a statement about the meditation on the form of the Lord. It is said there, meditation focusing on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been accepted as transcendental and beyond the experience of material pain and pleasure. By such meditation, even one who is grossly miscreant can be delivered from the sinful reactions of his life. Meditation on the qualities of the Lord from Vishnu Dharma. Those who constantly meditate on the qualities of the Lord with devotion, having destroyed all contaminations, enter the abode of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. In the Vishnu Dharma, there is a statement about meditation on the transcendental qualities of the Lord. It is said, persons who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness and who remember the transcendental qualities of the Lord become freed from all reactions to sinful activities. And after being so cleansed, they become fit to enter into the kingdom of God. End quote. In other words, no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being freed from all sinful reactions. One can avoid sinful reactions simply by remembering the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, etc. So we see is that this remembrance of the Lord, that's the position. It's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, and service. So these are what's remembered. 1-2-181. Meditation on the pastimes of the Lord from the Padma Purana. He who meditates on the most sweet, most astonishing, charming pastimes of the Lord attains liberation. Śrīla Prabhupāda. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement about remembering the activities of the Lord. Quote, a person who is always engaged in meditation on the sweet pastimes and wonderful activities of the Lord surely becomes freed from all material contamination. 1-2-182. Right, so here is that we see is it because we see is okay, here's being quoted, and then again Śrīla Prabhupāda, the same verse. But the point is Prabhupāda's pointing out what it's meaning. In his translation, he doesn't just literally translate. We do that. Right? Does that make sense? Because here is made a liberation, Prabhupada says, free from all material contamination, because liberation is also material contamination. By the influence of the impersonal philosophies, we'll think, no, it's spiritual. It may be situated spiritually, but you're still a materialist. Does that make sense? It's just like, let us say, you go to a resort, and in this resort, you stay in a very nice place. Okay? Right? But now, let's say you have 5 days to be there at the resort. What happens after 5 days? You go back wherever you came from. You don't stay there. You understand? So even though it's attaining the spiritual position, you don't stay there because you're a materialist. You've done the austerities, just like some of the materialists here, they perform the yajnas and austerities and all that, and they elevate themselves to the heavenly planets. And then when their 5 days runs up, they come back here. Right? Vacation's over. So in the same way, you can do other austerities and knowledge and this, that, and detachment, and elevate yourself to Brahman. And then after your 5 days is up, you're back. Does that make sense? Yes. So that's the whole point. So he becomes free from material contamination. That's the meaning of that. That's the liberation we're talking about. Yes. Lamenting, yes. Because otherwise then hanker, when they get bored, then they hanker material, so they come back. Right? While those that are free from all material contamination, they go to the spiritual realm. They never have material hankering, so they never come back. That's the reason they never come back, because there's nothing to come back for. Right? So you see, that's the importance. Even though it's the same thing read, even if Prabhupada doesn't make a comment on it, his translation is already pointing out the essential points.
Maharaj, if we suppose we read only the verse,
yeah, we wouldn't fully understand it. Because just like this, let us just look at something very interesting here. Now, so far we've gone to, we're on the second chapter, we're on the, what do you call it? Yeah, 182nd verse.
Yes.
In the second chapter. It means we've already done the first chapter.
Yes.
So we've done over 200 verses.
Yes.
You know, which is quite big. You know, that's more than a third of the, you know, it's like a third of the Gita about it, you know? So, now, in doing this, have we seen that there's anything in the original that's not in Prabhupada's word for, you know, Prabhupada's translation? No, not at all. Nothing left out. In fact, he gives commentary on it. Then, because we see, Jiva Goswami goes back, and I mean, Rupa Goswami and Sajiva Goswami, they go back and write their commentaries. Right? To bring out the details so that we understand about pure devotion. Right? Now, have we not heard that people have been talking about and reading translations of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu for, you know, some years now? And it's always like it's something more, something different, something. That's the whole point. That's exactly the point. No, it's not. So we're putting it here is so that you understand what Rupa Goswami says. Same time as it deals with, because we're dealing with every sutra, every verse, then you see as Prabhupada also does. So it does two things. One, you understand the original because we think there's something more there. Right? And two, is that you see is that there isn't. So that's the whole point. That's why the Prabhupada and the Acharyas are studied together. So you see is that they're all saying the same thing. They're bringing out different aspects and all that, trying to help us understand. But it's not that, okay, Prabhupada's book sets there, that's beginners, then we go to something else. Because some say that. Oh yeah, Prabhupada gives the beginning, and then these others, they give the higher and all that. No, not at all. You know, and in the same simple way of talking, when Prabhupada's just introducing even just what is spiritual or what's the soul or what's like this, he can also, in that same simple language and that same kind of simple straightforwardness, he's talking about technical points of Vedanta Sutra and the Chaitanya Charitamrita purports that we don't even understand. You know, he says like some of those purports on Vedanta Sutra, some of it was 8 pages, what was that? You how many pages? 11 pages. And it's so technical. Most devotees won't know what he's talking about. But it's still presented in that same simple language. So that's the whole point, is that that's one of the main things of the study. This technique is so that we appreciate that what Prabhupada gives. This is, when he says everything's in his books, that's literal. That he wasn't being, you know, poetic here. You know that, yes, for the most devotees, they don't understand, so yes, it is, but for those who are more intelligent, more scholars, you know, more than they can, no, not at all. Because even you see that, okay, Jiva Goswami brings out something here, some technical aspect. Once you actually understand the technical aspect, if you go now and read Prabhupada, you'll see it's right there. Mm-hmm. Just by the simple wording, we didn't catch it. But the point is, because we don't have that position. It's just like now, we read Gita, we went through it like this. Now, if you go back and read Gita, you'll see is what you'll see from Gita will be much more than one would have seen the first time. The first time you're reading, it's just Gita. But now if you go back, you've read Gita, you've read Kapila Gita, you've read Uddhava Gita. So now you'll see something different. Seth? Yeah.
Now, this is the advantage to read regularly.
Yes. Then you start to see those connections. Yes.
Sometimes we go through the whole thing. Then when we are going to teach to the people according to their level how to present. Mm-hmm. So when we go to present, then when we see a dynamic factor in a person, how much ever he could understand, grasp and digest, that much we can present. Even with that simple.
Means the samana abhide and prajna will be complete. It's a matter of how much detail they can appreciate. Because even they don't know it, you're still talking about Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that, even though they don't have any idea. You know, about chanting and these things. But some technical points, then that you may leave out. In other words, secondary aspects is what you play down. And the primary is always going to be there. But you only have it in the simplest form.
And if we have as a person gone through the whole literatures, then we can present to how much ever he can digest, appreciate and get inspired, to that much degree we can present it.
Yes. But you see, it's also Prabhupada's given the hierarchy of the books. Mm, yes. As far as studying, you can read any book anywhere, but if you're going to study, then this is the recommended order.
Yes.
Right? Is that good? It's just like you can study Chaitanya Charitamrita first, and you'll always get benefit because it's transcendental. But the depth of what you'll understand will be less than if you studied it last. Yes.
In third chapter, Prabhupada tells, like Krishna is telling, that Veda prescribed duties are mentioned in Vedas, and Vedas are coming from me. Then in the purport, Prabhupada tells this Anucheda 12, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, how all the Vedas are breathing of the Lord. He mentions that verse.
Yeah. And that's in Gita.
Yes, in Gita purport.
Yes. So all these things are there. We don't see them. Now, like we said, now we've gone through it, we're studying that. Now you're looking and go, oh, it's already there.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is Prabhupada read this, he understands what Rupa Goswami is talking about. So therefore, he explains it how Rupa Goswami is talking about it. So instead of saying attains a liberation, he says, surely becomes free from all material contamination.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yes. Very simple terms.
Yes, simple terms, but also it's more full. It's like the essential elements of the purport are already written into the translation. So even with the translation, you won't make a mistake.
Yes.
You know? Like that. Because we have to remember from in the, how you say, Tattva Sandarbha, one of the problems in Kali Yuga is, means we don't really have the problem that there's not enough Vedic literature. We have the problem that we're not smart enough to deal with that Vedic literature. That's our problem.
So that Prabhupada Pranati Mantra is proving.
Yeah. Yes, all those things. He's already dealt with that. We think he's dealing, oh, with cultural or economic or political. No, he's dealing with spiritual. He's dealing with obstacles to devotional service. Right? You know, we don't take other authority. It has to be based on Veda. If we based everything on Veda, would we have as many issues as we have, these social, political issues?
Yeah.
Because where's the Veda on that? Where are they taking from Veda that you can get that issue? Right? Because and you have to see the application. Right? It's like that. Okay, here you have Yudhishthir Maharaj. He's the king. Not only is he the king, you know, a Kshatriya, he's an emperor. Right? There, then, he has his other brothers. Right? And then they have their wife. Now, and the thing is that the wife follows the husband, she speaks sweetly, does all these different things, right? So that's mentioned in Mana. Prabhupada mentions this. So, at the same time, you have the one where the wife is not independent, she follows the husband, all these different things, right? And so then we have a conversation. So then we'll have one understanding from this, right? And it's a kind of shallow intellectual understanding. It's not cultural. Right? Now, we see is from, and Prabhupada is quite strong on these points. He's quoted them directly from Manu. Then you see is that in this conversation between Draupadi and Yudhishthira, means all the brothers are there, the sages are there, everybody's there. But now she comes and asks Yudhishthira Maharaj a question. And this question basically is, you know, why are you here? You know, why means by your gambling, now you've lost the whole kingdom, we're all sitting out here in the forest, and the citizens aren't being taken care of, because Duryodhana is not going to properly take care. He may take care of the material side, but the king's supposed to take care of all levels. Right? Now, if you look at the wording, she says it very nicely, but it's this heavy that because of his attachment to gambling, or, you know, to dice, therefore we're in this position. But she says it very nicely. But the point is, you know, heavy as a ton of bricks. Right? And she said this in front of everybody. The other brothers are there, and there's a good chance at least Bhima is 100% agreeing with this. You know, Arjuna, it's like, yeah, it could have been better. Nakula and Sahadev, he's kind of, what can you do? You know, but Bhima will be fully like that. Because I think even at a later point, he says, I'll burn those hands. So he's not saying it sweetly, because he's his brother. But his wife says the same thing, but sweetly. So we take it, sweetly means you can only say sweet stuff. No, it says sweet speech. It doesn't say sweet points. You understand? You know, it's like medicine. You put some sugar in it. It's still medicine. You understand? And then how does he respond? You know, he does go, I'm the king. You know, you're supposed to follow whatever I did. He doesn't say that. He goes through and answers it point by point and shows how Dharma is being protected by what he did. He's showing why he did everything. And he's saying it very, very nicely, and always referring to her, you know, in the standard way. So, one with the beautiful face, and, you know, all those kind of things. And this is also in front of everybody. Right? So that's why without the Puranas and the Itihasas, we will have absolutely no idea how to apply these things. So that's why then it is there. And so we can read these texts all day, we'll never understand. Without the purports of the Acharyas, we won't understand. And we can only understand the Acharyas' purports through Prabhupada's purports. Otherwise, you'll end up, being very, you could be super scholarly, but not devotional. Like that. And we have plenty of scholarly burnouts who are not devotional. And they can't see the benefit and can't see what's useful. But they're so smart. And they have, letters piled behind their name. Quite deeply. Yes.
Maharaj, in that sense, earlier there was so much literature available and so much scope to deviate. Then...
But Krishna's grace is less scope to deviate. Still we can deviate.
So then the most things came in and destroyed everything. It helped in one sense much.
And all these things, it's the Lord's plan. It's the Lord's plan.
And then the so-called scholars, Western scholars, they misinterpret whatever is available so that you cannot even test them. So ultimately those who are sincere have to depend on directly the Acharya as well.
Yeah. That's all that there is. So if that's appreciated, then we'll see. Is that yes? It's just like that. Because Rupa Goswami is making the point; he's saying it exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not that he's less. We've translated it like this.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that he's thinking like this.
Yes.
Because the word you say mukti means you're free. But Madhvacharya says real mukti means you're established in a relationship with the Lord. So when the Vaishnavas say mukti, they mean you're established in a relationship with the Lord. But the term is mukti. Right? Just like I said, yesterday, the Bengali is hungry and he says, I need some food. Then we would just say food. Prabhupada would translate it rice.
Just plain.
Even if it's rice, it's just plain rice. No, it means the sabji is everything. You say rice, it means it goes with those things.
Rice is also very specific. Plain siddha rice. The rice is also specific. Plain siddha rice, not any other.
Yeah. No, nothing fancy, just that. Yeah, siddha rice is the Bengali equivalent of the Italian al dente. Oh no. No? Means it has a little bite to it. When Italians cook pasta, it's just a little bit, so it's got some bite. So in the same way as the siddha gives some bite. That's why they don't like the other rice, like basmati, that you just put in your mouth, disappears. It's kind of where's the substance, Yes. 1282. Meditation on one's service from another Purana. Right, so you had the pastimes, meditation on the qualities, right? Meditation on the form. Because he mentions form, qualities, pastimes, and service, and then he gives a verse from each.
Yes.
Right? So very thorough. The Acharyas, when they do something, is very logical, very thorough. That's why we say the intellect won't be disappointed, but you can't understand it by intellect. Right? Right, so the what do you call it? The pastimes, you're freed from material contamination. The qualities. Then you're fit to enter into the kingdom of God. Same on the form. What does Prabhupada say here? He's delivered from all sinful reactions. You attain the highest. But they are saying that. So the point is all these together.
Is it gradual, Maharaj?
You do have a gradual means. You do anything like this, you there. But as I mentioned before, it's natural within the meditation that there is a gradual development. Because this is all remembrance.
Yes.
And the natural, the remembrance is going to take the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes.
And you said remembrance of the name?
Yeah, there is a... Yeah, I don't remember what's there. What did it put it on there? Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, here. Remembrance of the name, concentration on the form, meditation on the qualities, absorption in the pastimes. That's how it'll develop.
Yes. And then after that, it'll
and that brings you to Apan Das, so don't worry, it's good.
And then after that you go to the entrance into the...
The pastimes, yeah, because that's the point of Apan Das. Mm-hmm. Then you can enter into the pastimes. So when these levels are complete,
yes,
then you can actually take part in the pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absorbed in the pastimes. You can't be absorbed in the pastimes unless you're absorbed in the qualities. You can't be absorbed in the qualities unless you're absorbed in the form.
Mm-hmm.
The form unless you're absorbed in the name.
Mm-hmm.
So just it naturally just comes like that. Means you'll be remembering here and there, but it just naturally comes where it just gets deeper and deeper. That's the levels of all this smriti, anusmriti, and dhruvanusmriti, and like all these things. Okay, meditation on one's service from another Purana. Constantly serving the Lord with items produced in the mind, some devotees have directly attained the Lord, who is not approachable for others by words or mind. Srila Prabhupada. In some of the Puranas, the evidence is given if someone is simply meditating on devotional activities, he has achieved the desired result and seen face to face the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this connection, there is a story in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana that in the city of Pratishtanapura in South India, where is Pratishtanapura?
I think it is in the Kurmakshetra.
Is it Kurmakshetra?
I heard near the Kurmakshetra this past time happened.
Okay. There was once a Brahmin who was not very well-to-do, but who was nevertheless satisfied in himself.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that it was because of his past misdeeds and by the desire of Krishna that he did not get sufficient money and opulence. So he was not at all sorry for his poor material condition,
mm-hmm,
position, and he used to live very peacefully. Right, because the point is this peacefulness, we're thinking, oh, if I get this, then everything will be all right. No, it's if you give up material desire, then everything will be all right.
Yes.
Right, we just accept what we have, that's what we use, that's where we'll be happy.
Yes.
Right. He was very open-hearted, and sometimes he went to hear some lectures delivered by great realized souls. At one such meeting, while he was very faithfully hearing about Vaishnava activities, he was informed that these activities can be performed even by meditation, right? Because he said, you know, the name, form, qualities, and pastimes, but also you can meditate on service. Not just on the Lord and that, but on service. In other words, if a person is unable to actually perform Vaishnava activities physically, he can meditate upon the Vaishnava activities and thereby acquire all of the same results. Because the Brahmana was not very well to do financially, he decided he would simply meditate on grand royal devotional activities. And he began this business thus. Sometimes he would take his bath in the river Godavari. After taking his bath, he would sit in a secluded place on the bank of the river. Okay. So that means the Godavari rivers? There, Kurmakshetra?
Kurmakshetra.
Is on Godavari, okay. And by practicing the yoga exercises of pranayama, the usual breathing exercises, he would concentrate his mind, right? It means the usual stuff, not all the fancy stuff and all this and that. He's just, you know, the standard stuff too. Make the mind peaceful, not the one to make your gallbladder work great and stuff like that. Yeah. These breathing exercises are meant to mechanically fix the mind on a particular object. for a particular subject. That is the result of breathing exercises and also of the different sitting postures of yoga. Formerly, even quite ordinary persons used to know how to fix the mind upon the remembrance of the Lord. And so the Brahmana was doing this. When he had fixed the form of the Lord in his mind, he began to imagine in his meditations that he was dressing the Lord very nicely in costly clothing, with ornaments, helmets, and other paraphernalia. Then he offered his respectful obeisances by bowing down before the Lord. After finishing the dressing, he began to imagine he was cleaning the temple very nicely. After cleansing the temple, he imagined that he had many water jugs made of gold and silver, and he took all those jugs to the river and filled them with the holy water. Not only did he collect water from the Godavari, but he collected from the Ganges, Jamuna, Narmada, Kaveri. You see, before he sat down next to the Godavari, do his meditation, start his pranayama meditation. Now that he's thinking of the Lord, now in meditation he can collect from all the rivers. He doesn't have to just get from the Godavari. Generally, a Vaishnava, while worshipping the Lord, collects water from all these rivers by mantra chanting. This Brahmin, instead of chanting some mantra, imagined that he was physically securing water from all these rivers in golden and silver pots. When he collected all kinds of paraphernalia, for worship. Flowers, fruits, incense, and sandalwood pulp. Right, so he'll collect from the best place, the best objects. That's the whole point of the meditation. You can collect the best. Whatever is the maximum you can imagine would be ideal, that you can do in meditation. Okay. All these waters, flowers, and scented articles were then very nicely offered to the deities to their satisfaction. Then he offered arati, and with the regulative principles, he finished all these activities in the correct worshipping method. He would daily execute similar performances as his routine work, and he continued to do so for many, many years. Then, one day, so many, many means lots of manys. Right? Many means, you know, some years, and many means quite some of these quite some. Right? Then one day the Brahmin imagined in his meditations that he had prepared some sweet rice with milk and sugar and offered the preparation to the deity. However, so this is why etymology won't work. Sweet rice. Here you mentioned milk and sugar. Right? It also includes rice. But if you use that, sweet rice, then there might not be no milk. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So that's why you have to go by what's applied. How do the acharyas, how it's explained. And offered the preparation to the deity. However, he was not very satisfied with the offering because the sweet rice had been prepared recently and it was still very hot. This preparation, sweet rice, should not be taken hot. Like Prabhupada said, grains, they should be taken hot. They give the best flavor. So anything made with grains, when it's warm, it gives a better flavor than when it's cold. Right? And things made from dairy products, when they're cold, they give a better flavor than when they're hot. Not that you can't have cold or hot of either. It just that means that it's that very specialness comes out in that situation.
So we don't take along with the meal, that's why. I mean, these things, the more cold items you cannot take and along with the meal.
But you can. It just depends. It means it has its place. You have to know the science of where it goes. So that the sweet, that it'll come at the end. And of all the sweets, it would be the last one.
Because we give a gap, because after they're eating everything hot, you end
it. No, but then you can take it at other times also, that you don't have that problem, like in the early morning or in the afternoon or things like that. But then you see the volume is less. You know, it's just like you have your lunch, and then you see it's very common that that four, then they have some hot drink, and then some little fruit or some little snacky thing. But it's not a meal. It has to be small. If the tea is there and what you're eating is only like sweet, small, or like fruit especially, then it will help the digestion. But if you eat more, then you're in trouble. But if you just eat that little bit, so you have to know the science. So it can be put there, but you have to know where to put it. you know, unless you're Gujarati, then you just start with that and go all the way through the meal. You know, you begin with that, end with that, like that. So that also works. Because then it's predominantly that, and then the salties are less. So it's just a matter of how you go about it.
When you offer to the deity, for example, to the man, boga offering, there is also a different quantity, no? It means sweet is a very small size.
Not necessarily. No? Mm-hmm. It can be nicely done.
I think here it's a lot of rice.
Yeah, because all those preparations go with rice. Because you have, means they're offering, let's say, 8-10 different subjis. You're going to eat that with a little rice. Now, let's say even you're doing, let's say, depending upon, you know, kind of how you look at it. For many, they'll use mainly rice and a little bit of subji or dalta, you know, so it's not dry and it gets some flavor, you know. But the other way is that you have, you know, how you say, it's about 40% rice, 60% subji. Right? The gentleman will generally eat it like that.
Yes.
Because it's more the flavor and this and then, you know, all that kind of things like that. They don't need as much grains. But let's say you're doing physical labor, they're going to take more grain and less of the vegetables because they need that for the energy. So it works out because they'll burn off all that extra, and then what little bit's left is what balances with the subject. You know what I'm saying? So they will get nourished, plus they have the extra for doing that work. You know, so it all works out. So you have to know is that you always give that. It said Lord Chaitanya when they make the offer, when he make the offering to Lord Chaitanya when he go to Advaita Charya, there's a huge pile of rice, and then so much ghee on it, it would be running out the bottom. So that's how you know there's enough ghee. Yeah. And so these things are there. Plus you have seasons. Like this is summer, means from that last Purnima to after two Purnimas, the one in June. During this time then you can liberally take a lot of dairy products that are cold. According to your digestion, but you can take a lot of it and it won't be a problem. Well, in some of the other seasons, then you'll restrict and be very careful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
It costs stuff.
That, and you know, so many, it does stuff. But in this season, it won't. You can take very rich, not necessarily spicy and all that, that you'll do in other seasons. Mm-hmm. But this, you can take very rich things and lots of cold dairy products, and you won't have a problem. Right? But it's just for this 2 months. The next 2 months it'll be different. Like that. So in a sense, every 2 months it changes what works in the diet. Have you ever noticed that you have a diet and it's going fabulous, you feel great and that, and then suddenly it doesn't work anymore and you wonder what happened? Because the season changed. Like that. So, like that. That's how it works.
Are we supposed to follow that for the deity now?
Not necessarily. He doesn't have a problem with digestion. So. The planets serve him, so as he likes. So you just offer nice amounts. It's nice amounts. You don't put too little. You know, in other words, you don't project our health issues on the Lord. Like that. In other words, the Lord can eat deep-fried things. He can eat salt. He can eat sugar. He's good. He has no problem. Like that. In fact, he can eat unlimitedly. But all these things, you have to know how to use them. That's the point. Is that because sugar is actually creates, it's a catalyst that creates digestion. Like milk, you have to have something that creates that. So it has to have either the sugar or the salt. But these are the catalysts. And also, nourishment of the body is done through salt and sugar. Like the others add some things to the health in that, but the body actually becoming nourished is some salt and sugar. And nowadays, those are the two that people try to completely avoid. And look at modern man. How nourished is he? You know, physically they're not. They look like scarecrows. So that's the difficulty. So it's just, they don't know the science. They don't know what they're dealing with. So for Krishna, he doesn't have these problems. You know, it's just like on a codicil, he still eats grains. Or in Chakra Mas, he still eats everything. We're sitting over there eating a pile of frame rice off the floor with no ghee on it, and he's eating everything, right? So Yeah, he doesn't have any problem. Right? So it's proper amounts, full amounts. You know, even the size of the deities, you don't adjust it according to the size of the deities.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, like that. He takes, you know, full stop.
When it is Japan book, Lord can eat all 66.
Yes.
But when it's for us.
No, no, we just take a little bit. Okay. Yes, that's a chapan bog, that would be the, throughout the whole meal. Either you're looking at it, the lunches that many, or you're taking it the full day. All the six offerings, they should cover that many preparations. Chapan is 54 or 56?
56.
Yeah, so I think in Puri, all the offerings through the day, through all the six offerings, add up to 56. Like that. So that's chapan bog. But also a lot of times they call the noon offering chapan bog. Because then it's very big and so many like that. So I don't know. So either way, point is it means a lot of preparations. Yeah, so he's good. You know, it's not that he's about to eat that. The pakoras, the mother Yashoda comes along. No, 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 that's fried. You're not eating that. I take the salt away like that. Yeah, too much sugar, you know. Yeah. Not, Krishna doesn't have a problem. Okay, this preparation, sweet rice, should not be taken hot. The cooler the sweet rice, the better its taste. So, because the sweet rice had been prepared by the Brahmana very recently, he wanted to touch it so that he could know whether it was fit for eating by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he touched the sweet rice pot with his finger, it immediately was burnt by the heat of the pot. In this way, his meditation broke. Now, when he looked at his finger, he saw that it was burnt. Right? So you see that picture, and that he's like so shocked looking at his finger. And he was wondering in astonishment how this could have happened. Because he was simply meditating on touching the hot sweet rice, he never thought that his finger would actually become burnt. Right? So we see that. While he was meditating, like thinking like this, in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayana, seated with the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, began to smile humorously. On seeing the smiling of the Lord, all the goddesses of fortune attending the Lord became very curious and asked Lord Narayana why he was smiling, right? Because that's the whole thing, is that you see, it doesn't mention necessarily the other ones notice it, right? But the ladies always notice. If someone's smiling, the first thing they do, if they can't see, they'll look around and see what's the cause, right? You know, and if they see something there that would naturally be, you know, okay, he's smiling like that or looking in a direction, so you look over there, okay, then, you know, this person's coming or something's going, then you know, okay, that's the cause. But they can't figure it out.
All the six fruits doesn't work. Pepper and
all. Yeah, yes, no, yes, all those haven't worked. And so he's smiling, so why? Right? You know, because it's all about rasa. The Lord, however, did not reply to their inquisitiveness, but instead immediately sent for the Brahmana. An airplane sent from Vaikuntha immediately brought the Brahmana into Lord Narayana's presence. Right, so you don't have to worry that there's this time lag there. He wants it sent and it picks them up and brings them all within that moment. That's why he didn't have to say anything. Right, because they're all sitting, hey, just now coming, you know, like that clock's going by, you know, like this. And you see the shadows going from this side to that side. And, no, just one more. Where are they now? Oh, they're up to Satyaloka. Here soon. Yeah. When the Brahmin was thus present before the Lord and the goddess of fortune, the Lord explained the whole story. Right? Because otherwise, why say it? Because otherwise, then when he comes again, so this he could do it all at once. Because Krishna, whenever he does something, he accomplishes many things at once. So he's brought the Brahmin, he's explained, you know, the curiosity of goddess of fortune. And the Brahmin also knows that that's why,
yes.
You know, that about the power of devotional service and all that, and that's why then this story is given in the literature. The Brahmin was then fortunate enough to get an eternal place in Vaikuntha in the association of the Lord and his Lakshmis. This shows how the Lord is all-pervading. In spite of his being locally situated in his abode, although the Lord is present in Vaikuntha, he was present also in the heart of the Brahmana when he was meditating on the worshipping process. Thus, we can understand that things offered by the devotees, even in meditation, are accepted by the Lord, and they help one achieve the desired results. Right, so that's the point. He means Krishna's form is original, right? It's unique. It's different from his energies and all this. And that form is full of unlimited good qualities. And those good, unlimited good qualities are expanding from that form like rays of the sun. Right? So, that description, very easily we can appreciate and understand. Right? In the technical Sanskrit, that's called Brahman, Brahmajyoti. In a sense, that's what the Brahmajyoti is. It's the expansion of the effulgence of his good qualities. And by that, he supports the cosmos. Right? Then he controls this cosmos as Paramatma. Right? So Brahman and Paramatma are all pervading. But they are expansions of Krishna. They're features of Krishna. Therefore, even though Krishna is sitting here in Vaikuntha with Lakshmi, he still, through Brahman and Paramatma, knows everything and knows what's going on here. So he, the person, knows everything. Like, because this is Vaikuntha, so it's always a mood of knowing everything. And Braj, then, he'll just take part just in that pastime, because knowing everything everywhere else, he can do that in Dwarka and Mathura and Vaikuntha and all that. But in Braj, then, it's just what's going on in Braj. That's why they say only the Brajvasis can understand Braj. Right, because only there he puts his attention only in the Vrindavan. Right? To take care. It's not that he doesn't know everything else, but he does that through his expansion. Right? Some sense. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Also, this is that aspect of the Manasa Puja?
Yes, the Manasa Puja also. Here we have simple things. You're sitting there with an Achman cup and a spoon and some water in it, you know, and that's what you got. You know, maybe an incense, maybe a lamp, maybe a flower. But now you can do all 16 items very, very nicely and elaborately by this method. So that's the idea. Then when you pick up the achmasu with the water and say something, then the mind will relate to what you offered. And so you'll be seeing that practically with what you're doing. That's why if you're always meditating on Krishna and always absorbed and always seeing Krishna, whatever you see, you'll be able to see Krishna along with that. So makes sense. That's just how it works. You know, just like a hungry man, he sees food in everything, everywhere. Right? Yeah. Yes. And Lord Chaitanya continued. And then he couldn't, when his meditation stopped, because he couldn't take it any further, because that's all the farther Lord Chaitanya went. So Lord Chaitanya was accepting Kanai Nashtam. He was accepting that all the way up to that point. So that's two things that happened at Kanai Nashtam. He went from here up to there.
And then,
but then when he came back from when he's younger, when he came from Varanasi, he came to Kanai Nakshala, and that's where he started manifesting the, instead of being a pundit, that he was a devotee.
He got the darshan of Radha Krishna.
Yes, but I'm saying that's where he started. Then when he came back, he was talking, you know, chanting about the Lord and talking about the gopis, and the students are thinking, what's going on here? Like that. So both of those happened at Kanai Nakshala. Yeah. Nice place. Chapter 11, Aspects of Transcendental Service. 1.2.183, Acting as a Servant, from verse 87. Dasyam is defined as offering the results of prescribed duties and acting as a menial servant of the Lord. Right? So Krishna in the Gita is saying, perform your duties, you know, for Him. So this is that aspect of Dasyam. And acting as a menial servant of the Lord. Footnote 2. This dasya is distinct from the dasya stai bhava and dasya rasa that appears after sadhana bhakti, though related. Right? It means it has that aspect of being friendship towards the Lord, and so therefore you want to do things that are favorable for the Lord. in that aspect of friendship. But it doesn't mean, it, dasi here means friendship, rasa. It's not the rati. You don't have attraction to serving Krishna in the mood of dasya. Does that make sense? No? Yes? No? Doesn't make sense?
I don't think so.
You do or don't?
I don't.
Don't, okay. Okay. Is the, here it's called dasya, but that's defined, he says, as offering the results of prescribed duties and acting as a menial servant. That's the definition of dasyam in this relationship.
Yeah.
When we're talking about rasa, then dasyam means the cowherd boys and Uddhava and those, and Arjuna, like that, because they are serving him as an equal,
yeah,
as a friend.
Yeah.
They're, so it's not the same, but it's related in that you're always trying to bend, you're a well wisher of the person.
Yeah.
That way it's. Does that make sense?
You're explaining the Sakya aspect more.
Oh, yeah, so I'm explaining the Sakya, but it's the same principle.
Same.
So it doesn't mean that that's our rasa.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So one has to appreciate that it's just a general form.
Yes.
Like that. But it's not that now one's in that rasa with the Lord. Yes.
Also, this rasa, that it pervades in all the rasas in the spiritual world, which is the basis for all the rasas.
All the rasas here. So there's some connection. But
so because of that, it has to be there in the, I mean, for a devotee, this mood has to be there, otherwise you cannot.
Yeah, because yeah. How do you go, because that's, otherwise that's the standard mood in Vaikuntha, is dasya, but then it has that is the rasa, that is the attraction. But then it's also within all the other moods, because you see friends are well-wishers, parents are well-wishers, lovers are well-wishers, so the point of being, it's always there. Srila Prabhupada, servitorship. In the opinion of the karmis, fruit of workers, offering the results of karma is called servitorship. But according to Vaishnava acharyas like Rupa Goswami, servitorship means constant engagement, some kind of service to the Lord. Right? So, that's the point, is prescribed duties here will be prescribed within devotional service.
Yes.
The karmis will take it that is prescribed duties means they're performing their varnashram duties, connecting those to Krishna.
Yes.
So, the devotee will be doing that because that's what's prescribed in his devotional process. As a grihasthi maintains the family, Krishna has given that direction, so he's doing that to please Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So, this right here is going to be the aspect where you see is that the definition, I think it'll come up more, probably it'll come up more, is that varnashram,
yes,
is not devotional service.
Yes.
It can be engaged in devotional service. While you see other Vaishnavas, they will take it because varnashram is very essential in worship of the Lord in majesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the form they use. So therefore, for them it's non-different. Though they, you know, of course it's different from the karmis.
Yes.
But the form will look the same.
Yes.
Like that. Should it?
So we can take that the essence of the whole varnashram is the constant engagement.
That's what it's for. That's why then it becomes daiva varnashram. But it's not that itself, it's a devotional process. Varnashram is not a devotional process, but it can be engaged in the devotional process. Right? So here's where the connection, you're offering the results of your work. Right, but then it goes higher than friendship. You'll see it takes it a step further, because then it's about the other person and trying to please them. Therefore, you're doing it. The one is, I'm doing this. I offer it to the Lord. That's dasya. But because this will please Krishna, therefore I'm doing it. That's friendship. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Well, he likes this, so I'm doing it. And then Atmanivedan will be that complete surrender. So you see stages of that. How you're connecting everything to the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami. Offering the results of prescribed varnashram actions, karmarpanam, is considered by some to be dasyam. However, Rupa Goswami's opinion is that only kind karyam, acting as the menial servant of the Lord, is considered dasyam. One should identify oneself as the servant of the Lord, right? So, therefore, as a servant of the Lord, that's why you're offering the results. The others consider just offering the results, that is.
Yes, yes,
yeah?
Yes.
Does that make sense? One should identify oneself as the servant of the Lord. It is said in the Itihasa, Samuchaya. One who has the attitude of being the servant of Vasudeva for thousands of births can deliver all people. Right? So he just sees that I'm just servant. He's not worried about, you know, he's just eternally going to be the Lord's servant. So therefore, all whatever comes up from that, he'll be doing that birth after birth. He's quite cool with that. So then that gives the qualification. Sridhama Vipra also states in the Bhagavatam, life after life, may I have love, friendship, sympathy, and service. Dasyam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:81-36. The Dasyam mentioned by Sridhama means being in the position of a servant. According to Sridhar Swami, this service is kind karyam. Because here he's in friendship rasa. But he's talking about that, because it's just a matter of that service. Because you see, even the queens were talking about that service attitude. Mm-hmm. So that mood of service towards Krishna.
The same name, Sudama the friend, Sridhama the
friend. Sudama and Sridhama.
The same person is called as...
Oh, Sudama and Sridhama. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But he was also friendship.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Okay, so this Sridhama is Sudama, not Vipra, not Sridhama, Radharani's brother, or Sudama, the cowherd boy. Okay. This service is kind karyam, means to perform actions of service with respect for the authority of the Lord. There's no real difference between this dasya and paricharya, service, another anga, in its pure form. Right? So it's just you're doing these aspects. There's no difference between this. One's the mood of service, and the other one is you are performing that service. That may be the rasa, but it doesn't. It's in principle it's the same, but there'll be different flavors. Right? That'll all be discussed later. Yeah. 1.2.184. The first type, offering prescribed duties, is described in the Skanda Purana. Prescribed duties according to one's nature offered to that Lord become Bhagavata Dharma. What to speak then of actions of bhakti dedicated to the Lord alone? Srila Jiva Goswami. This is an example of offering prescribed duties, prescribed actions being a type of dasya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Even varnashram actions, karma swabhavikam, offered to that Lord, tasmin ishvare, become Bhagavata Dharma. What to speak then of actions for the Lord, tat karma, such as hearing and chanting. So that's the whole point of karma yoga. You're taking your karma, connecting it to the Lord. Then it's counted as Bhagavat Dharma. But it's only its connection to the Lord that makes it as such. It's not that the Varnashram itself is special on its own. Right? That's that we were dealing with before, is all those scholars and Brahmins who know the scripture so nicely but don't know the Lord. They're following all these nice pious activities very nicely. But then the problem comes is they don't know the Lord. They won't know the Lord. So that's not enough. It has to be connected to the Lord. That's what makes it work. Okay? 1.2.185. There are two categories of this Varnashrama Dasyam offered to the Vaishnavas, offered by the Vaishnavas to Krishna. Offering the auspicious among the prescribed actions according to one's nature, and offering only actions such as japa, meditation, and deity worship. Srila Prabhupada. In the Skanda Purana, it is said that those who are attached to ritualistic activities, the four orders of social life and the four orders of spiritual life, are considered devotees. But when devotees are actually engaged in offering service to the Lord directly, these must be Bhagavatas, or pure devotees. So in other words, they're all devotees, but then there's pure devotees. Because we're starting with that. I have this conditioning, I'm doing that, I'm offering that to the Lord. The other is, I'm trying to please the Lord. So I do those activities, connect, especially the hearing, chanting, and that. Then how much you have to do the other activities, you're doing because that supports. So they're just starting from Krishna and coming down to our position, or we're taking our position, elevating it up to Krishna. That's the two different. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandana.